that will kind of help us a little bit. I'll probably be short-lived this morning in Sunday school and closing out Psalm number 57. I brought Mr. Spurgeon's book in this morning that I've been using as a study guide for the book of Psalms, one of the books. And I've closed out the first chapter of the Treasury of David this morning. And we'll begin next week in Psalm number 58 and volume number 2 of Mr. Spurgeon's book and using some of his notes. I think he's a very studious man, or was a very studious man, and had a great deal to say about the Word of God. I tell you, he's probably one of the wisest men in the Scriptures that I've ever read after. And I've enjoyed our study in Psalms so far. I mean that. It's a tremendous book. Let's read let's read all 11 verses this morning of this psalm, and we'll try to close it out in verses 7 through 11 for our thought for today. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth His mercy and His truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be Thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let Thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me. Into the midst thereof, whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. I'm not preaching on that this morning, but the Lord said, just stop and think about that. That every net that the enemy spreads for you, and every pit that they dig for you, if we'll stay right with God, that our enemy will fall into that pit and that net themselves, and we'll fly away like a little bird, chirping and singing praises unto God because of His sweet deliverance in our soul. Then He said in verse 7, My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto Thee among the nations. For Thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and Thy truth unto the clouds. Be Thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let Thy glory be above all the earth. Now may the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Our Father, I thank You this morning for this passage of Scripture. I pray that You'll bless it to our hearts now and give us understanding from it. And we'll thank You for it and glorifying Yourself in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our text this morning is found in the last five verses of Psalm number 57, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, beginning in verse 7, where David said, My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed, and it's fixed upon singing and giving praise unto the Lord. Now, gentlemen, I know that in most Baptist circles, that praise is kind of a sour note. And there's really not many that are given to the sacrifice of praise unto God. But I want to try to take these five verses of Scripture, if God will help me this morning, and speak to us for just a little while in the Sunday school hour on the model of praise. I believe we find here the model of praise. You know, we've preached many times, and we've heard men preach many times, out of Matthew chapter number 6, verses 8 through 15, on the model of prayer. But this morning, I want to speak for a little while on the model of praise, or the pattern that the Bible gives us on true spiritual praise. I didn't count the number of times, gentlemen, that word is used in the Bible, but I would say that it is a great number of times that we find the word praise used in the Word of God. I want to say that it's scriptural, it's biblical, and it's comely for the saints of God. And if we're not involved in it, shame be unto us, because we're disgracing the gospel of the grace of God, and we're bringing shame to His glorious name that has saved us by His power and delivered us from the pits of sin and degradation. And I find in these verses a pattern that God sets that we have found throughout the Bible for praise for His people. Just let me say this, by the way, we're not going to get away from this in Sunday school. God helping me in the preaching hour, I'm going to preach on the music of the church. And following those M's along the line that I've been preaching for the last month on the church. Now, David is here in the midst of calamities. And we'd really believe that he would say that his heart fluttered. That's about the way that we are today. When we get in have a little problem, or a trial, or a little misunderstanding, or a complication of life, rather than having our heart fixed, our heart flutters. And we grow just kind of, you know, despondent and discouraged, wondering what to do. You know, I was in Lexington, Kentucky on Friday night, Josh and I were. And I didn't know it, but on Friday, the lady that's buying our home, her daddy came down to where Mrs. Hall and the ladies were having a yard sale. And man, when I called home that night, my wife was tore all up. That man had just about got beside himself and accused Miss Hall of selling the stove out of the house at we had promised to give that lady, which is still up there, and accused us of selling a fan, which is still in the bedroom up there, and just on and on and on and on, until my wife went home and just put her face in the palm of her hands and sat there and wept all afternoon. Now, I'm going to be quite honest, it pretty well perturbed Brother Hall. That's right. But you know, here in the midst of David's calamities and his adversities, David's heart did not flutter. It was fixed. He was calm. He was happy. He was resolute. And he was established in his heart concerning what he was going to do. In fact, he said, although I'm in this cave and I'm in the midst of calamities, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. David said, regardless of what is going on the outside, there is peace and tranquility on the inside. I may not have all the peace out there that I would enjoy, but I've got all the peace in here that God can give. And gentlemen, I say to you this morning on the authority of the Word of God, if we have made our peace with God, we can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And even in the midst of our calamities, we ought to have enough grace in our hearts to praise God for His unspeakable gift toward the children of men. God has been good and gracious to you and I that are saved by the grace of God, and we ought not to let the situations of our life dictate our service to God. That is right. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said, when the central axle is secure, the whole wheel is all right. Now you'll get a hold of that after a while. You keep the axle in place, friend, I guarantee you the wheel will be all right. And our axle, ain't nothing wrong with the axle we're rolling on. Jesus is not perturbed about what's going on today. He's not worried about Y2K. He's not worried about a food shortage. He can send manna from heaven. He's not worried about money shortages. He can turn streets into gold.
He's not worried about you and I, the computer shutting down, and you and I doing without water, for He can bring water out of the rock. I'm telling you that God is not worried about what's going on in our society today. Oh, the axle's all right. And if the axle's all right, then us little wheels, and even us little spokes in the wheel, ought to be able to roll along just fine. In fact, son, I'm running on puncture-proof radio Michelins this morning. Amen to God. And I feel right religious today. Amen. Feel like I'm saved this morning, gentlemen, by the good grace of God. But whether I feel like I'm saved or whether I don't feel like I'm saved, I yet ought to have a fixed heart and give praise and sing to the glory of God when I come to the house of God in worship of Him. Hallelujah.
No, that's right. That's His wonderful name. Amen. William S. Plummer said this. He said, whether saints conquer or are conquered, they still sing on. Now, you get a hold of that. Whether we are conquered or whether we have conquered, we yet sing on to the glory of God. For we know that in the providence of God, He holds our life in the palm of His hand, and that all things yet work together for the good to them that love the Lord, to those of us that have been called according to God's purpose. Amen. And so, I guess, gentlemen, that our praise depends upon the fixity of our heart and the immutability of God. He hasn't changed. And He's not going to change. Amen to God. When He set His affection upon fallen humanity, whenever it may have been, and I don't know when it was. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hoy set His affection upon me the day He saved me. Oh, no, 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 my friend. Call me what you want, but our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That goes back to at least 6,000 years, I know. And if the gap theory is right, that goes back maybe several million years. But at the very least, my friend, it goes all the way back in the mind and the economy of God into eons of time that past is my understanding. That's when God set His love upon fallen humanity. And He followed through with that love when He sent His Son to yield His life upon Calvary. Amen. And He magnified that love when He set His heart upon you and drew you by the power of the Holy Ghost to Calvary that you might be born again by the grace of God. Amen. Now, our praise depends upon that. He has not changed. He's still God. Why, even old Peg knows that. He's still God! Well, good to have Brother Billy with us this morning. Amen. But even in Billy's condition, he's still God. Hadn't changed one iota. Not a bit has God changed. He's still God. But you better believe that. Amen. Now look here. Praise, gentlemen, he said twice there. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. And so praise flows from a steadfast heart. Now look here, I said that to say you can have a steadfast heart in the valley. That's where David's at here. But he's yet steadfast, Brother Wayne, even in the valley. And you can have a steadfast heart there. But when we lose our praise, gentlemen, when we lose our steadfastness, when our faith grows weak and doubts and fears arise, that's when we lose our praise unto God. I'll tell you, we must surely, undoubtedly, be there at Island Ford Baptist Church
on this Sunday morning, 1999, we must be there. Doubts and fears. Oh, ye of little faith. Wherefore did you doubt? You have the faith of a grain of mustard seed. You can command mountains to be moved out of their place. My Lord, I'm telling you. Son, if our heart is steadfast as David's was in verse number 7, they'll have no problem giving praise to God. Even in his calamity, in his valley, David is ready to trust God. He said so in verse number 1. Amen. Ain't that what it says? In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. For my soul trusteth in thee. Even in that valley, David's heart was thick, gentlemen, because he trusted in God. Let come what may, gentlemen, let us anchor our feet in the Word of God and its truth and set ourselves in the grace of God and just keep on trusting Him whatever comes. I don't know what's coming. There must be some things coming our way because I'm hung up on this stuff. I'll tell you, David is ready to serve the Lord. His heart's fixed. He's ready to trust Him. He's ready to serve Him. David is ready to praise the Lord. Let me ask you something. Are you ready to praise Him today? David's mind may have went way back to that little sheepfold on the side of a mountain watching his sheep of his belonging to his daddy. Huh? David's mind may have went back to that day that Samuel came with that horn of oil and anointed him as a little 16-year-old boy to be king over the nation of Israel. His mind may have went back to that day in the valley of Eli when he walked down into that valley and slew the giant Goliath and carried his head back and thrown it in the tent of King Saul. David had experienced some things in his life, gentlemen, that caused him to trust in the Lord, that caused him to be resolute in his heart to serve the Lord, and caused him to give praise unto God for what God had done already and had accomplished in his life. Now, he did not allow the situation of life to deprive him of his spiritual privileges. In verse 1, he pleads for mercy. And he finds it, gentlemen. And in verse 7, he offers praise unto God. And I've said this so many times, that praise is the ingenious mother of future mercies. Somebody said, what are you saying? I'm simply saying that we need, y'all pardon the expression, we need to conceive this morning in the womb of praise, in the womb of mercy, a few praises that we might receive mercy from God down the road sometime. I'm simply saying, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if we will sow to God the praises that he demands from the Word of God, we shall in return reap mercy from the hand of God. I don't know if you know it, but God's here. I know when God's a moving my heart. Now, some of you don't like that. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to preach it if it hair lips you, friend. You're not going to change my mind on what I believe this Bible teaches. And I'm going to tell you, we're not going to have God in the fullest. I heard Larry Raines years ago when I didn't even like him make a statement. He said, if you will praise God, He'll show up, because He inhabiteth the praises of Israel. Don't you want to be around your children when they're bragging about you and appraising you for being good to them and buying them this and doing the chore you're doing? Your grandchildren likewise. You like to hear them say thank you. Huh? You like to hear them grab, you like to see them, grab hold of your leg and hug you and thank you for little things that you've done for them. God's the same way, gentlemen. And if we'll do that, he'll show up. Not only will he show up, he'll hang around for a while when he gets here. Because he enjoys that kind of fellowship and company from his people. Oh, that's right. Now, listen to this. Praise must be stirred from slumber. Praise not only flows from a steadfast heart, but praise must be stirred from slumber. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? In verse number 8, awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. Three times David there says, it is time for me to wake up. May I say to you, it may be time for us to wake up. Three times, gentlemen, in this verse, he uses the word awake or awake up. I don't know. This is my own. It may be and it may not be. But he may be in reference there. He may be in reference to the soul and to the body and to the spirit, that it is time for all three to wake up. There is no doubt he's talking about his spirit when he says, awake my glory. Get up! Why? I'll never forget years ago we was in meeting here with old Brother Hanley Melby, and it got on in here. Brother Melby was sitting right here. And he stood up and he began to exclaim, spring up, O well! Spring up, O well! Spring up, O well! I'm going to tell you what he was saying. He was saying, wake up, soul of man! Wake up, soul of man! God is on the scene. God is present. God is demanding our praise. It's time to wake up out of our sleep and give Him the praise that is due His glorious and holy name. Body, soul, and spirit. Now, that soul, which we may, I believe, render as the intellect of man, in our phrase, it conceives the thought or the idea. It's got to be conceived somewhere, gentlemen, in the mind of man. You've got to first be steadfast up here and resolute in your mind and get your mind alert if you're going to praise God. And then the spirit inspires the soul or the intellect by inspiration. Oh my. That's right. Way down deep on the inside. The spirit of man inspires our intellect and tells us that it's right, it's right, it's right. And then the tongue, like a pen of a ready writer, cannot control itself. And the tongue expresses the thoughts and intents of the heart and gives praise to God from whom all blessings flow. That's right. I'm telling you, that's right, gentlemen. And we're in gross sin if we neglect it or refuse to be obedient to God. And I ain't done yet. That worship that is performed, listen now, with a sleepy, drowsy body is a weak worship. I'm going to tell you something, fellas. You cannot worship God and give Him praise. I don't care what, if your body is dragging like a hula. If your body is dragging when it comes into the house of God. Now I'm going to tell you why. If your body is dragging, your body drags because your mind drags. And your mind drags because your spirit drags. And your spirit drags because it has never been prepared by the Holy Ghost. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if we'll get alone with God and prepare our heart. Our heart in our soul. We'll overcome our body. And we'll worship and praise God for what He's done for us. That's right. You can't praise God, bless God, setting up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, trying to come to church at 9 o'clock. Your mind ain't into it. And your mind ain't into it because your heart ain't been prepared. I'll say a little bit more about that in the morning hour. You bank on it. It's in the notes. It'll have to be said. Let me finish this statement. That worship that is performed with a sleepy and a drowsy body is a weak worship. But the psalmist here makes the awakening of the body to be the fruit and effect of the preparation of the heart. He said, awake! Awake, my glory! First of all, my heart must awake! And the only way that we can awaken it is through prayer and Bible reading and meditation in the Word of God. Spending time with God. Amen. That's right. He says, awake my glory, psaltery, and Himself. Why does He say that? Because He said, my heart is prepared. The heart is prepared, and thereby awakened will awaken the body. Somebody said, what do you mean? I'm talking about, son, if you get your heart right in preparation, it'll overcome the weakness in your body. Now, I know that's right. I can come in here, and bless God, I can skip and hop and jump around like a 18-year-old man. And on Monday mornings, I'm hobbling like I'm 90 years old. That's right. That takes me about 20 or 30 minutes just to unwind and get out of bed in the morning. I can drive for an hour in an automobile, and my left knee is so stiff and aching so bad I can only walk on it when I get out. But son, I can skip into the house of God. Amen. And I can preach sometimes like a wild Indian. And like a 25-year-old novice. Why? I'm going to tell you why, gentlemen. Because my heart is fixed. It's been prepared. And I'm ready and resolute in my mind to serve God when I come to the church house. To worship God, therefore, without a prepared heart, is to worship Him with a drowsy body. Because it with a drowsy heart, and therefore weakly.
Amen.
And we're worshiping Him very weakly, gentlemen, these days in the house of God. Praise must be stirred from slumber. Praise must flow from a steadfast heart. I want to say this, and this is going to get some of you, I know it is. Praise must be unreservedly without shame. Huh? You know what David said there? In verse 9, he said, I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto Thee among the nations. Can I translate that to you in hall theology today? David said, I don't give a flip who hears me or sees me. I'm going to say to everybody and worship God according to the dictates of my own heart. I don't give a flip at her lips, mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, the crab, dad, pan, the lost man, the rich man, the poor man. I am going to sing and give praise to God because in my heart I am fixed upon it. That's right, ain't it? Now, if that had been bad, now I know that the Jews struggled with that. Because the Jews, they didn't think them heathens, them Gentiles, or have anything at all to do with God. But David said, I want the Gentiles to hear what I got to say. I want the world to hear what I got to say. Why, I'll get up here on Sunday morning, I'll tell it wherever I go that I am lying. So, you'll catch that after a while. We ain't telling it everywhere we go. I can think of where the scripture was at, and I've preached on it in here in the psalm prior to this one somewhere, where old brother David was praying and a worshiping God, and he said, "The heathen will see it and rejoice in it." He said, "I'll be a witness to that crowd out there by the way I sang and give praise unto my God." I'm telling you, gentlemen, we talk about the Holy Ghost, us being a witness to a lost and dying world, and we can't even muster up an amen in the house of God. We're so ashamed we're so ashamed of Christ that we cannot even say amen out the house of God. How on God's name can we tell anybody out there about the saving grace of our Lord? We was over there yesterday. Everybody, people all around us, hundreds of people in that building, me and little old Josh. And I said, "Josh," I said, "let's get something to eat." I said, "What do you want?" He said, "I'm going to eat one of them barbecues." I said, "Praise God, I'm going to get a Polish sausage." And we got two Pepsis to go with it, ice cold. Good. People everywhere. He said, "Where are we going to eat, Papa?" I said, "You going to sit down right here? Right on the floor here and on that chair you're going to eat." I said, "Now let's bow our heads." I just bowed my head and prayed, and I kind of looked up, and Josh was kind of looking around. When I got done praying, I said, "Now, I want to tell you something." And I didn't fuss at him. I said, "I want to tell you something." When Papa bowed his head and prayed, just bow your head. I said, "You don't have to be ashamed of Jesus no matter where you are." I'm not ashamed of him, gentlemen. Unreservedly unashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. How can I be ashamed of something that brought me out of a life of sin and shame? It brought me, Brother Jerry, out of the dank holes and the slop juice and the beer holes, out of sin and debauchery, wickedness and ungodliness and worldliness. How can I be ashamed? How can I be ashamed of something that brought me out of a life where I was ashamed of? I don't know how many of you men in here drank, but how many times have you woke up with a little hangover and you're so ashamed that you couldn't face the people you was with the night before? Couldn't face your own wife, knowing you acted like a fool. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When David brought up that ark, he acted like a fool. And Michael said, "You acted like one of the lewd fellas." He said, "I'm going to tell you something, lady. If you think I was acting wild today," he said, "I'm unreservedly unashamed of my Lord and what he's done for me." I'm going to tell you, David said, "Michael, you may not have liked it, but I'm going to tell you, my Lord was a dancing in glory right along with me." Hallelujah to God. You want to dance? Hook up with the right partner. He'll waltz with you. Amen to God. Do the jitterbug and the mumbo too if you want to. Praise His wonderful name. Going to have to be without shame, gentlemen. And then fourthly, praise must be spiritually evangelistic. Amen. I said, "What do you mean evangelistic?" Look at verse 9. "I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations." David said, "I'm going to sing among the people." And then he stopped and scratched his head a minute and said, "No, that ain't enough." Amen. He said, "I've got to go into all the world with this. It's too good to hide, fellas." Yes. I like that. We buy a new car. Where are we going? "Oh, I thought we'd just take a little ride, honey. Maybe go down to the mall, maybe stop and get a little sandwich or something, you know, drive around a while." "Oh, Joe! carry them. We want to brag about it and show it off. Women get a new diamond ring and they come into church like this. What's wrong with you? Did you break your arm? Oh, no, no, not of course, no. You know, okay. But somebody!
Yeah.
I didn't say something, I said somebody!
Yeah.
That's glorious and wonderful!
Yeah.
Amen! As the Lord Jesus move into my life and deliver me from the shackles of sin, how can I conceal Him? Hallelujah. Spiritually evangelistic. Now he talks about singing to the people and to the nations, and you know why? In verse number 10, for thy mercy is great under the heavens and thy truth into all the clouds. That's why he's carrying it to the people and the nations, fellas, that it might be spiritually evangelistic. He said, this thing is so good, I've just got to tell everybody about it. Huh? Ain't that right? I'm going to tell you, I believe we got visitors here. Son, I'm telling you, if we just somehow get enough of the Holy Ghost of God in here to let it... Oh, there'd be some think like Michael. They'd think we're foolish. But I'm going to tell you, there'd be some of them stiff-necks been sitting around up to the first church. They'd get fed and be fed up with that mess. They kind of like it. Now, they may not understand it, and they may scowl at it for a time or two. But oh, I'll tell you, after they'd been around it a while. So I went to Arizona and talked to Brother Nolan one night on the phone. He said, well, he said, I'm always talking about something. I don't remember what it was. Must have been about me and Molly Grubbin. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, you cut your teeth on shouting and praising God in Greenville, South Carolina. He said, you'll never be satisfied anywhere without it.
Amen.
He's right.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you really what happened in Greenville, South Carolina. I got introduced.
Yes.
The old time Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Worship of the Lord. Singing, preaching, praying, and praising the God of glory. And you're right. And I've set my heart's affection on things above, and I know they're rejoicing in heaven, and I'm trying to get in tune down here for what's going to be taking place for an eternity. I believe, gentlemen, if I owned a guitar, I'd tune it before I played it in public. Is that right, Brother Warren? So before we get up yonder in public, why don't we tune our guitars?
Yes.
That's right. That's mine now. I didn't get that nobody before. Holy Ghost, lay down no
heart.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes.
Then I want to say this, and this got me. I'm telling you, when God laid this on my heart, praise must be without scope. Somebody said, what do you mean without scope? No boundaries. Praise is a limitless, boundless thing. Now, I'll just break that down like this. Gentlemen, you can, as Brother Allen says, it gets so high. Man might physically hurt himself. Somebody said, where do you get that at? Verse 11. Be thou exalted, O God, where? Above the heavens.
Yes.
Now, Jimmy didn't say above heaven. He said above the heavens.
Yes.
There is the first heaven. There's a second heaven. And there's a third heaven.
Yes.
Where God lives. But yes. David said, I want my praises. If there's anybody out there even beyond God, I want them to hear too. Hallelujah
yes.
to God. Gentlemen, I'm telling you, your praise can get you far out.
Yes.
I'll never forget that night I was preaching down at Brother Hyatt's years ago. I went in there on a Wednesday night, and I'm telling you, I wouldn't have thought it. It was just regular, common service. Good spirit. It wasn't dead, but it wasn't alive. I mean, it was just a good church service. And I got to preaching. And son, I just continued to get deeper and deeper in glory. And I fell plumb off the mountain. I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you. And when I come to myself, I was down on the floor around the pulpit, crawling around on my hands and knees. I didn't know what was going on. Crying, snot flying, tears running. I mean, I was gone. But I'm going to tell you. You know what the wonderful thing about that was? The rest of that crowd was gone with me. Hallelujah to God. Yeah, amen. I pray you say, preacher, I'm saying that our praise reached above the stars that night. And encircled the throne of God. And I'll guarantee you the Holy Ghost of God that lifted him up into the presence of Jesus cried, amen! And the Lord of glory, sitting on his throne, said, amen, amen! And all the seraphim that cried, holy, 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 said, amen, and amen! Michael the archangel cried, amen! Hallelujah to God! That's right, and all the angels, thousands upon 10,000s of thousands of angels, said, hallelujah! It's right! The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth! Hallelujah to God! And the 24 elders fell on their face and said, glory! Hallelujah! The God in the highest, the hidden that was and is and shall be the Lord God! Omnipotent. Reigneth forever. I'm going to say something. If you don't like it, down here you're going to be well out of place over on the other side. Because I'm telling you, they's already rejoicing over one old sinner that gets saved. When this blood-bought crowd gets home, interpret that for me, Brother Jerry. When this blood-bought crowd gets home, you just interpret it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Old Brother Aubrey Brown said his interpretation of Romans 8:28 was, woo! Brother Jerry's interpretation of when we all get home, woo! The model of praise must flow, gentlemen, from a steadfast heart. It must be stirred from slumber. Must unreservedly be without shame. It must be spiritually evangelistic, and it must be without any scope. Fall off the mountain, get loose as a goose. Let the good times roll, praise God. Ain't that burning? Ain't that air back there on? I'm hotter. It was on 70 when I come in. I'm hotter than a Comanche engine. Hey, John, why don't you get up here and get a little good? Hallelujah to God! I'm telling you, I feel wonderful today. Woo! Amen, amen, amen.